I'm Paul Wiegraf, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me in the studio is a new arts leader to the Wilmington community, now the Executive Director of the Delaware Contemporary, Dr. Joseph Gonzalez. Welcome, Joseph.
Hello, Paul. Thank you.
It's great to have you joining us today. New to Wilmington, but certainly not new to the greater Delaware Valley arts scene. Tell our listening audience a little bit about you and your background and what brought you to Wilmington.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I was previously at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia, where I was the director of the Graduate Museum Communication Program in Museum Studies. And in that role, I obviously was leading the program, but also teaching and preparing students for careers in communications, marketing, development, fundraising, and various other administrative roles in the museum and cultural field. And previous to that, I was at the Fleischer Art Memorial, where I was the manager of community engagement and research. And I have worked at numerous other arts organizations on a project basis or as an employee in the Philadelphia area, including the Mural Arts Program, the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, to name a couple. And recently, my orientation kind of turned towards the Wilmington area.
And what attracted you in particular to Wilmington and the Delaware Contemporary?
Sure. I had done some evaluation work for the Delaware Humanities Forum. I was put on their list of evaluators about 6 years ago, and my first evaluation was at a program. It was a partnership with the University of Delaware and the Hagley Museum and Library, and that was sort of my entree into the cultural community, and shortly after that, I got some other calls, including what was at the time the Delaware Center for Contemporary Arts. And that was where my relationship with this organization started. But I also had the pleasure of going to the Cab Calloway High School for the Arts, as well as the Historical Society in Wilmington. And so that is where I got to know this particular museum, as well as the cultural community. And it was a real eye-opener. As you know, I don't have to tell you, or I'm sure many of the listeners, that Philadelphians can be very Philadelphia-centric. So it was a great sort of eye-opening for me to learn of the really vibrant arts and cultural community here. So when this position became open, and I was already contemplating a career change, that familiarity, knowing the organization, the quality of the exhibitions and the programming that occurred there, I went for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Delaware Contemporary has quite a different look today than it did when it was founded back in, I think, 1979.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
As the Delaware Center for the Contemporary Arts. Back, I remember when they were actually down on the Brandywine in the old Public Works building
mm-hmm.
there. For our listeners, tell us a little bit about the background of sort of the formation of the Delaware Contemporary for the Delaware Center for the Contemporary Arts and its evolution into the Delaware Contemporary.
Sure. The Delaware Contemporary, well, we were founded in 1979, as you mentioned, by a small volunteer group of artists and art patrons. And really, it was their goal to promote the growth and the understanding of contemporary art in Delaware. And they were centered here in Wilmington. And the organization flourished, and it had a real energy and kind of experimental spirit, and continued to grow, had many successful exhibitions through that time, made lots of friends and supporters, many of which are around today. And went through a couple of location changes. And in 2000, we moved to our current location on the riverfront. We moved to the abandoned Harlan and Hollingsworth Railroad car assembly plant. And we've made that our home for the past 17 years now. And we're really proud. My board, the stories I hear from the people that have been involved from the beginning, proud of this history. But we're also proud to be part of the revitalization efforts that have taken place on the riverfront. So that's our home now. And in 2015, we decided to change our name and our look to the Delaware Contemporary, and the thinking was to kind of get away from the what I've heard been called in other places the alphabet soup, the acronym, the DCCA, because there were other DCs in the area, Delaware-based organizations. Mm-hmm. And so we felt that the Delaware Contemporary would help sort of distinguish us and help us stand out from an identity standpoint. And at that time, we also tweaked our mission so that we were really inclusive of art, technology, design, of the contemporary, the current trends in creative practice that were happening as well.
Now, the organization was founded, as you mentioned, by a group of local artists coming together. How does that original mission still reflect itself in your operations and your activities?
That's a great question. One way, and I think it's a lesser known than I want it to be, and this is my chance to get it out there, is that we have 26 artist studios on site that we rent at an affordable price to practicing artists. And some of those artists have that are in the facility have been there since we opened the new building, and we're actually part of the second wave of artists that joined the Delaware Contemporary in those days. And so we support artists in that way in all points of their career arc. We've got emerging artists, we've got mid-career artists, and we've got very well established and seasoned artists. So to me, that's one really concrete way in which that we support that original vision of the organization.
Now, part of your description, I believe, is that you are a non-collecting museum. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, what does that mean, and how does that how do your operations in terms of your gallery spaces reflect that?
Sure. So as a non-collecting contemporary art museum and center, our exhibitions are constantly changing. You can say that we're continually offering fresh art from artists from Delaware and the region, as well as known American and international artists. So I think that's a real distinguishing point that we have, is that we are offering this fresh art from, again, artists from different locations, although we do like to focus on the region, as well as from different points in their career, which is also really important.
And how many gallery spaces do you have?
We have...
Not to put you on the spot.
Putting me on the spot a little bit, but because I'm still in my learning curve.
I'm envisioning four.
We've got, one, two, three. It's a pair of galleries. We've got the DuPont one and the DuPont two, three, four, five galleries. And then we also have the ability to exhibit artwork exteriorly. And we also partner with other organizations, particularly through our education activities, to put on other shows. We also use our auditorium to show student and community-based art as well. So we have the five sort of fixed galleries, but also use other spaces creatively to showcase many budding artists.
I was going to say, I know you've had some student exhibitions in there, and I know you've had a partnership with the Latin American Community Center in an art project that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Could you, in any given year, how many different exhibitions would you have?
So our exhibition schedule is quite hefty. We have 30 plus exhibitions in any given year. That number, in reading our history, has been as high as 45. In this day and age, we've slowed it down a little bit so that our exhibitions have time to breathe and that people have time to discover them out there through the various means, and so that people don't miss the shows that they want to get a chance to see. So we're 30, just over 30.
Now, how do you go about selecting the exhibitions that you present?
That's another really good question. So there are a couple of ways. One, we have a curatorial committee, and it led by our Gretchen Hupfel curator, who is currently Catherine Page. And they receive materials from various artists. We also have specific calls that we put out for specific exhibitions, and they meet regularly to review and help to plan out the schedule one, sometimes 2 years out in advance. Another way is through our Hatch Gallery, which is the gallery that's really devoted to showcase the studio artists. And the studio artists are in some ways a self-governing group, and they curate that gallery. So it's typically done as a pairing, and that particular gallery changes out monthly. And it's a great way, again, for our studio artists to show their most current work. And again, keeping what we do continually fresh.
Mm-hmm. Much more to explore, but let me remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is Dr. Joseph Gonzalez, the Executive Director of the Delaware Contemporary here in Wilmington on the riverfront. Joseph, with these exhibitions, I know you also have special events, and I believe you're part of the monthly Art on the Town, the Art Loop. Could you speak to some of those special events and how you promote these exhibitions?
Absolutely. The Art Loop is one of our larger regular events, obviously, because we're linked into the larger effort by the city and the arts community. And we have a couple of exciting ones coming up. The next one is actually September 8th, which is – they typically occur on the first Friday. However, this is the exception because of the holiday schedule. So it will actually be occurring on September 8th. We'll have an opening for an exhibition called Don't Worry About the Government by artist Adam Ledford. And we'll have two new studio artist exhibitions as well by Ruth Ansel and Graham Daugherty. We're also fortunate that the Rolling Revolution, we've got a great parking lot, parking space, and we're able to host many of the Rolling Revolution food trucks on that evening. And so we also typically have some sort of form of live entertainment, and that varies from a DJ to a local performance group. Can be youth-based, can be professional musicians or performers. So that's the next one. And the following one takes place October 6th. And again, we've got a reception for two of our studio artists, Hugh Atkins and Jenna Lucente. We'll have DJ Skinny White, who I understand is a fixture on the scene around here. And then we're actually, for this evening, we're going to have an after party. We're going to feature the Compound Sound System with the selectors from the West Kensington. They're going to set up a 9 by 9 foot speaker system in the tradition of Jamaican music sound systems. And they're going to spin some ska and other great Jamaican music, as well as let the teach or share information to the onlookers and listeners about that history, that rich musical history.
Now, in addition to the special events, the regular visitor can come in during the week. Any logistical information about that?
Absolutely. So we offer free general admission to the public. We do ask for suggested donations that are posted there for those who are able and compelled to give. And our normal business hours are Tuesday and Sunday, 12 to 5 p.m. Wednesday, we're open late. That's a special night for us, and we're open from 12 to 7 p.m. for folks who may not be able to come to the museum during normal work hours. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we have extended hours from 10 to 5 p.m. So we open a little earlier on those days. We also, you'll want to check our website because we do have a calendar of special events and obviously the Art Loop, and other times we are open later for those events. We offer parking. I know that's a big bonus for many cultural organizations, particularly after 5 during our big events. We have extended parking available in our parking lot that we share with our neighboring building.
Now, you mentioned earlier on that the building you are in is a refurbished, renovated old railroad building. Could you speak to the building itself and kind of the architecture? Because it really is a fascinating building just in and of itself.
Sure. We label it architecturally as urban chic. And it is, if you look at the historical photographs of the building, it was in many ways a giant green tin shed. And it was a real architectural feat to come in and refurbish it. My understanding is also that the building, the foundation physically had to be raised several inches to make it compliant and free of threat because we are on a river zone. Mm-hmm. And the architects tried to maintain some of that original feel. So when you pass our building, you'll note that the exterior still has that corrugated steel feel. And when you enter the building, we've got these beautiful 40 plus feet high ceilings in our atrium area, our lobby area. And you can see some of the exposed steel beams there that are left from the original building. The other great thing is, that space allowed us to have these really ample gallery spaces that allow us to hang unique work that is taller than work that you might find in other art spaces. Mm-hmm. So it provides us this really unique art space that's both functional and interesting to be in. And another thing that it allows us to do is that a lot of people may not know is as a rental facility, people come in and use the space for weddings, mitzvahs, community events as well. We work with community partners such as the Leukemia, I believe it's the Leukemia Foundation, a Fresh Start, and other nonprofit organizations who utilize our space as a fundraiser space. So we're really proud of that, and also that our space can be such a community resource. But I'll be in there, and somebody will come into the building for the first time, and they'll literally go, "Ah, this is really cool or really interesting," because of the unique sort of architectural makeup of the space.
And you also have a range of outreach and education programs.
Absolutely. Another thing that we're incredibly proud of, we offer the first-rate exhibitions, but our art education work is truly phenomenal as well. We offer work both on-site, or programs on-site and off-site for children and adult learners from all backgrounds. We have a variety of classes and workshops for youth and families. For instance, right now we have a steampunk makerspace workshop going on. It's a summer camp program. It's great to come in and see the young people being so creative and inventive in the space. And we also offer free family Sundays, which people can learn about the specific dates on our website. We also offer programs for adults, both traditional experiences like drawing and painting, but also we have a series of socially oriented creative maker experiences through our Happy Hour Make and Mingle. And you might be wondering, well, what could one do there? Well, we have book binding for beginners, upcycled jewelry, and ice dyeing. Yes, I said ice dying. And then we have partnerships throughout the city through our Contemporary Connections and Creative Arts Club. We work with pre-K on up to high school students through the Latin American Cultural Center, the Freire Charter School, Boys and Girls Club, and both the Howard and the Newcastle Votech schools as well. Like I said, we're really proud of that program because it extends the work that we do, and our goal to have people incorporate creativity and making in their daily lives. So being able to work with these different audiences really, again, aligns with where we started from, and that is that appreciation for creativity and art in today's society.
And I know you also on occasion bring in performing artists. We've got about a minute and a half left. Any comments on that?
We do from time to time have special events. I know one of the regulars is a group called Melomanet, mm-hmm. And they are a contemporary Baroque chamber group. And we had a great meeting, and they're going to be doing some really cool stuff to bring in that sort of contemporary feel and to make the best use of our space, mm-hmm. And bring some sort of multimedia, mixed media elements into their performance. So that's been a really great relationship. We also bring in drumming groups, different jazz groups from the area as well, and different kinds of regional music as well.
Great. In the time we have left, again, your website address?
Yes, our website address, easy to remember, decontemporary.org.
And you're down on the riverfront in Wilmington, part of a real renaissance in the Wilmington area. Our guest today has been Dr. Joseph Gonzalez, a new executive director of the Delaware Contemporary. Joseph, it's really been a pleasure to hear from you, your background, what brought you to Wilmington, and the evolution of the Delaware Contemporary.
Likewise, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.